Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey, everybody. I'm here with Beth Teichman from StarboardEditing.com. Now, Beth is a full-time professional photo editor and outsourcing guru. She works with talented artists from all over the world and has some super interesting insights to share with us on how we can make our lives easier as photographers. Beth, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. And how is it in Wisconsin over there?
It is hot. It was cool for a few days and we had some beautiful fall weather, and now summer is like, no, I'm taking it back. So that's right. Nice.
Same thing here in Michigan. And in the pre-interview chat, we were kind of talking about how we're going to get slapped in the wintertime. It's nice to talk to someone who feels my pain about the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Because half the time I'm talking to people from California on the show and they're like, oh, it's 75 here all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to hear
away.
That. Right.
It's like, I don't want to talk about it. From November through May, I don't want to care.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, cool. You know, I'm super pumped to talk to you. And I was kind of sharing with you beforehand that what you do is huge for photographers and that you're an important part of the industry. I firmly believe that lifestyle is huge. Lifestyle design for photographers who are running their businesses. And I've had people on the show who, like a past wedding photographer, she was saying she was in tears early on in her career because she stepped into photography full time thinking that she'd be taking photos all the time. And what she found was that most of her time she was at the computer all the time, editing photos and doing other stuff that she didn't realize she'd have to do. So this is where you come in, because you are an expert in photo editing. And if I'm not mistaken, you do some other like virtual assistant services for photographers, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Very cool. Well, before we get into that, can you just give us an overview of yourself, your background, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Sure. It's actually a really interesting and kind of funny story. So I went to college at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and I chose a geology major.
Wow.
Yeah, so I do not have a background in the arts at all. Like, the closest, like, arts background I have is, like, I'm proficient at music stuff, which is completely different than visual arts. So I chose a geology major. And one thing I will note that becomes relevant is with the geology major, it's entirely observational based. Like, you have to be able to interpret what you see in the field and make educated guesses based on that. So you have to be incredibly aware of detail. Like, the tiniest change in mineral color can indicate a different atomic structure, which could indicate the different mineral assemblage in the area, which could indicate whether or not you're going to find, like, gold or silver or precious metals or you're not. So, like, the tiniest differences and changes in what you're seeing and observing are huge and cannot be overlooked whatsoever. So that was my background. Graduated school. I got an internship. The internship ended earlier than expected because they thought they had 500 hours for the internship, but they had 400. So I'm like 4 hours from home and like all my family. So I'm like, I don't have a job. Like, I can't go anywhere. Like, there's no one really to take care of me. Like, just me. So like, I have to figure this out. Meanwhile, I had met a friend of mine who ended up living next door in the duplex I live in. And his girlfriend had just moved in with him. So we were all living like next door to each other. And she was a wedding photographer. And I got to be friends with her. Well, the part of the story she doesn't like me to tell, I won't tell it. But at first, she actually hated me. She, like, hated my guts. We won't get into that entirely.
That helps.
But she eventually, like, oh, my God, yeah. That's why it makes it particularly funny, because she, like, used to, like, just hate me at the beginning of it. But she kind of came around and realized that, you know, like, what she was basing that on, like, wasn't really true. Like, it was just, like, she was stressed out from wedding season. There was a lot of other things going on. Like, what she thought was happening was not happening. So we ended up getting to be friends, and the only time I would spend with her was when she was home editing photos. Like, so, like, that was it. I'd pull up a chair, we'd sit next to the computer, and she would, like, edit her wedding photos, and, like, we'd play a movie in the background, and we'd talk, and so I spent hours and hours watching her edit photos, and it got to the point where my internship had ended, And I didn't have a job lined up yet because I was still planning on basically like another like 2-3 weeks of having a job. And I was like, well, why don't you teach me how to edit photos? Because she's like, I'm losing my life. Like, I can do so much more with my business if I wasn't stuck here doing this. I'm like, okay, I've spent hours sitting here watching you do this. Like, why don't you teach me how to do it? You know, like, I have nothing else better to do. I don't have a job right now. So she's like, all right, you have 2 hours to learn this. And if you don't, then it's just not going to work out because I don't have time to, like, sit there with you and hold your hand. Just totally, completely fair. Like, I can't even express, like, she was doing, like, 80, 90-hour weeks. And, you know, just you really don't have time at that point to handhold with anybody. I totally get it. But because I had a background in a detail-oriented visual field, I actually got pretty good at it relatively quickly. And she just kept having me edit her photos. And I got good at it. So a couple years went by and she's like, would you ever want to edit for other people on the side? And I said, no, I think I like doing this as a side job because then I can bring in extra money on the side and use it to travel because that would be super fun. And in the meantime, I actually found a job in my field in the area. So I was doing the editing on the side and working like as a geologist full time. Time goes on. She introduced me a couple people, so I'm editing for a few more people. I'm getting pretty good at it. And she introduces me to Jamie Swanson with The Modern Tug, which I'm not sure if you're aware of her, because she needed an editor because she wanted to do more with her blogging stuff. And so I started working for her. And at this point, both Jamie and Molly are like, dude, you could do this full time. Like, you don't have to work at the other job anymore. And I'm like, well, I kind of like my other job. But as time went on with my other job, I was stuck in this feeling of like, which is totally wrong, that like, no, I paid for a degree in this. I need to stay with this, you know, like, it's totally wrong. Not a thing you need to do at all. And long story short there, I got tired of a lot of sexism that was happening. They were passing me up for field work as a full-time employee for the part-time male intern. He was doing more field work than I was. Of course, this is all purveyance on my end of what I think was going on, because of course they can't really ever say anything like that, and nor may they even be aware that that's what they're doing. But I got sick of it, and I ran the numbers and realized I could make 2 to 3 times more money working as a freelancer in the arts than I could at my current job. So time went on and I was basically like, bye-bye. And Jamie and Molly helped me a lot in like sending me clients and stuff like that. And that was like 2014 or 2015. And I've been full-time on my own doing this ever since. So it's like super convoluted and weird how I got to where I am today. But, you know, like there I am.
Life is a journey, you know, and your background is interesting. When you were going into your technical talk, I think that was like the most technical. You're talking to an art student. So I went to art school. So you sounded super official to me when you were talking. Like, that was really impressive. But I love how you pointed out it makes you visually very detail oriented. And I found that people on this show, like some of the most successful folks, photographers, creatives, have been ones that don't come from an art background. We've had former engineers on the show or former business majors, which is huge. Business majors, they like kick it out of the park when they have a background in business, and then they decide to, or hit it out of the park. Shows you how much baseball I watch. When they decide to become a photographer. Thank you. I could have just left that. And so I find your background so interesting. And the fact that, so you don't mind sitting at a computer all day editing photos?
Okay. So, you know, the whole thing of like, follow your passion.
Yeah.
I'm of the camp that that's crap. Find something that you can tolerate and that allows you to live the life that you want, and you'll be happy. So this is going to sound bad, but it also like it makes sense. So like, am I super, super uber passionate about like editing photos or whatever? No. Do I enjoy it? Yeah. It's kind of meditative. Like, you know, when you have like 3 hours or something, you just need to sit and like crunch through some photos. It's not mentally intensive. You just kind of get to chill. So I spend all day like just chill. Like I sit around in my pajamas, I drink beer, and I watch Netflix or listen to podcasts like yours or, you know, other things. I just, it's more like the lifestyle that allows me to live that is what I love about it. And there are certain parts about the editing, too, that I do enjoy. Like, when I get down to, like, detail nitpicking on stuff, like, I will, like, totally zone in on what I'm doing. And, like, you know, that thing where, like, you know what you love when you're doing, when you lose track of time when you're doing it. Like, that totally happens, where, like, I get super into the details and stuff like that, because that's a lot of my background in what I did for a living before and what I went to school for, was that attention to detail. I love the lifestyle that it gives me, and for that reason, I love it. I don't know if that makes sense.
You know, it does, and I appreciate your honesty, because I feel like that could be a whole show in and of itself, to follow your passion or to do something that you can tolerate in order to live the life that you want. And to be honest, this is something that I've debated with myself ever since I started a photography business, because on the one hand, if it's your passion, that's cool, but you get so emotionally wrapped up in it, and everything is so personal, and it's just, it can be so draining. And a lot of times, I believe, if something is your passion, you're kind of blinded to certain things that you need to see about yourself or the reality or certain weaknesses that you have. And it's just kind of hard to look at, like, to stand back from the business and look at it and see what you need to do. Whereas if it's something that you can tolerate, I feel like perhaps you're not so emotionally wrapped up in it. And so you can have a clearer head about things. And it just, so I really appreciate you saying that.
Especially because, you know, I grew up, I think we were roughly around the same age. I won't make you say your name, age, no, on the show, but how old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay, so yeah, I'm 30. So we grew up, like, we're on the same generation, and you think about, like, our parents and the generation before us, you know, they were pushed into, like, factory jobs and whatever they could to pay the bills, and they ended up hating their jobs, and they hated their life. So then they taught us, you know, don't do what we did, follow your passion. So then that became the thing that we were taught, you know, growing up, and it, you know, it kind of, like, went to the entire other side of the spectrum. And there was this no middle ground that existed for us to understand that you don't have to do that. Right. And that's kind of what I try and, like, promote and preach to people. Like, nope, there's another way to do this. Like, this isn't your only option. You do not have to follow your passion.
You have to
just be passionate about what you do.
And, you know, I've shared this on the podcast, but once upon a time, so growing up, I always liked to draw. I was very artistic and creative, but I was constantly told, you will never find a full-time job as an artist. So senior year high school, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go the extreme opposite. Didn't even think of, you know, finding a middle ground. I was like, I'll be an engineer. So I went into an engineering program over the summer at Purdue. And of course, it was all math and science. And, like, it was only a couple weeks long. And I knew that I could not do this for the rest. I love the people. I love the social aspect, but just, I came out of that and I'm like, I cannot believe I actually considered trying to be an engineer, like going to college for engineering with this pre-engineering program. So yeah, I totally get it. And, you know, I finally just broke down and went to art school at U of M, which I've never regretted it. Never a moment. A total hippie. Loved it.
That's but awesome.
At the same time, I like your view of using your skill set and finding that middle ground. And, you know, I'm curious then, because so I would imagine that you are making the lives of many photographers very, very, you're improving their lives a lot. And so I'm curious, what have you found to be the benefits to your clients? Like, what's been the feedback from the clients that you have due to your services? Like, how are you making their lives better?
So there's, like, a few different ways to look at this. Like, from the very basic level of, like, you know, and busy. Were you? I can't remember. Did you ever do wedding photography?
Oh, once upon a time. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so my goodness. Great.
Totally. Yes. Oh, my God. like, it's totally seasonal, you know, unless you live in, like, the southern parts of the states. And even there, it's seasonal, because when it's hot is, you know what, in July, like, you're not shooting anything. So the immediate thing is that they get to breathe during the busiest part of their year. They have some time that they can, like, step back from the computer and they can chill. They don't have to do anything, you know, for an evening or whatever. They can have that time off. So it's, like, one of the most direct ways to look at it. Another way to look at it too is that, and I saw this happen with my friend Molly, who I started editing for, is she wanted to do more with her business. And she wanted to start an online blog for boudoir photographers, because she was getting into boudoir photography. And that was something that she was allowed to do, like, once she passed up the editing. She had more time in her schedule, so she was able to grow her business. So she went from, and obviously I can't say, you know, it was me entirely taking the credit for everything that she did, because she's like just freaking amazing. Like, she would have done it anyways, but like having the time to free allowed her to do it faster. Mm-hmm. So she went from just a wedding photographer working in her own apartment to having a studio in town to shooting boudoir, and then from going from weddings to just shooting boudoir and having an incredibly successful like six-figure studio just with boudoir photographer in like a relatively small town in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And I've watched my own clients as well go from just, oh my God, I need my life back, to, okay, I have my life back and I have more time in my schedule, so now I'm going to start another project or part of my business. One of my other photographers that I work with started a business branding offshoot of her business where she does, you know, visual branding for companies and stuff like that. So over the 4 years I've edited for her, I've watched her, you know, charge more, shoot less, have more time in her schedule that she was able to do something like that. So there's, you know, the direct and indirect value that you can see. And of course, those options give you the option to make more money. I've watched these people go from like frazzled, like I need my life back, to having a more competent business. Not that they weren't competent before, but when you're struggling with organization and everything like that, it's hard to like keep a handle on everything, to like really get a handle on what's going on and really become like profitable and in charge of their business and running their business instead of letting their business run them. So those are some of the direct things that I've watched happen that's been like incredible to watch, especially when I can build a relationship with these photographers over like a period of like 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch their business evolve and change over that time. And to know that like you had like a small part in it, like, hey, I allowed you to have that time to do that, you know, is really cool.
I actually disagree. I think you have a large part in their success. And I know you're totally humble about it, but it sounds like you're bridging that gap. When a lot of photographers start out, myself included, you know, we think full time, oh, we'll be taking photos all the time, unicorns, rainbows, yay. And then what we find out is that there are so many details, with photo editing being a large part of that. And then a lot of us just get stuck, like for years, just going through the muck and the mire. And I mean, I've been there. I've had panic attacks where it makes you question, why am I doing this? And so many of us step out of it. I see so many photographers say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to go get a job because whatever, I don't know how to do this. But with you, your help to, you're like that missing piece that a lot of photographers need in bridging that gap. And because you help them have a career, a business, like the business of their dreams, an enjoyable, yep, business, a sustainable business. And without you, I feel like I'm getting tongue twisted here. I'm getting super passionate. Because of what you do, you know, you're helping a lot of photographers stay into it. Does that make sense?
Right. I'm helping them.
You're like the missing piece.
So, and it's easy with editing because it is such a time suck. Yes. So like, oh. I have a calculator. Actually, maybe we'll do the calculator thing.
I'll do it.
I have a calculator. Do the thing. I have a calculator like right on my website. I had my web guy make it. Because like I can't do like web technical stuff really. I mean, I can put together a WordPress website and blog posts and everything like that. I know a little bit of HTML, but like as far as like building my own plugins, like uh-uh.
Right.
And so like I had my web guy. I'm like, could you make this thing? Like, how hard this is? He'd be like, no, it'd take me an hour. I'm like, shut up.
Oh my gosh.
So I had him put together a calculator that helps photographers come to see where their time is actually going, kind of. So it kind of lays it out for him. So like, let's take for example the average wedding photographer. For a full-time wedding photographer on average, how many weddings you would say like they shoot per year? What do you think? Usually say like somewhere between like 20 and 30.
Yeah, I was going to say like 40, but you could say 30 just to be conservative.
Yeah, I say, okay, so say 30, they shoot 30 weddings. It really varies. I mean, there is no like
standard. I never did it full-time. I always had it sprinkled in there with other types of portrait photography.
Yeah. So let's say they just shoot weddings. They're not shooting anything else. And I can send you a link to the calculator thing. It's just on the main page of my website.
I'm looking at it right now. We are absolutely putting this in the show notes.
Oh, this cool. Is going in.
It is. It's in. It's in there.
So they shoot 30 weddings a year. And for each wedding, they probably spend, like, what, 2 hours culling a wedding? That's usually what I spend culling the average wedding.
And you're probably quick. I took way longer than that when I was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm even going with, like, kind of the conservative numbers based on my experience. For editing that wedding, it's probably going to take them at least 6 hours for just like basic like Lightroom, you know, nothing fancy. Retouching, most of them want to retouch the images at least to go in the album or that the client gets printed, which is like totally understandable. And I would say they probably spend at least 1.5 hours doing that. So for an entire year, that's 285 hours that they spend editing. That's almost 24 hours a month. A month. 5.5 hours a week. Year round. Not just during wedding season. During wedding season, it's obviously going to be more. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, it's all crunched into that short period of time. But on average, you get back 5.5 hours a week. So let's say that you... Now I'm going to... This isn't on my website. I'm getting out my phone so I can, like, do some math. I'm going to math, but not in my head because I'm not good at it.
Like I said, I'm an art student. My phone comes out so quick when I have to do any kind of calculation.
So let's say with 5.5 hours, they can do a portrait session, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably enough time to do, an engagement session or a family portrait session, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between, like, traveling and, you know, finding a location and all that kind of stuff. So let's say, like, what do you say an average sitting fee for a portrait session would be? Like, $200, $300?
Yeah, I'd say a couple hundred is super reasonable.
Yeah, that's like I say, like, kind of like an average. So let's say just in the sitting fee alone, so that's $200 a week times 52 weeks in a year. That's an extra $10,000 just in sitting fee that you're adding to your bottom line just by filling that time with something else. And if you fill that time instead with something else, like an in-person sales session, which most photographers that I know who do in-person sales, like, and again, I'm looking at Molly and how she teaches stuff, and a lot of the people that kind of follow how she does sales, like the people who like actually do in-person sales, they make at least like $1,000 per in-person session or more. It's usually, I think a lot of them average closer to like 1500, but let's just like be conservative, shall we?
Yeah.
So let's say $1,000 per in-person sale. 5 hours is more than enough time to do an in-person sale session, right? So you do one of those a week. So $1,000 times 52 weeks out of the year, that's $52,000 you're making extra to your bottom line per year.
That's crazy. Like, you're blowing my mind over here. Because a lot of photographers would say, oh, I don't want to outsource because... Number one, I don't trust the outsourcer or the person that I'm outsourcing to. Mm-hmm. And number two, I don't want to pay for it. I can't afford it. But when you put it like that, I mean, an extra 50-something thousand dollars a year with the time that you get back that you would have normally spent editing photos, that's crazy.
There's a lot of assumptions that you're making, obviously, that you would have at least one in-person sales session every week. Right. But there are other things, obviously, you can do to fill that time that will also, you know, bring you more income in the end, which is like marketing and networking, you know, and that kind of stuff. And even if you are choosing, like Molly and Jamie both went like the education route, they're like, hey, we're really good at this thing. We want to teach other people to do it. Mm-hmm. So they were able to take that time and put it into an educational source and, of course, make more money, you know, like selling educational materials. Or even like what Molly does, she even does like a mastermind stuff. It's like when you think you can't afford it, you're not thinking about it the right way. You're not understanding how valuable your time is, because all that outsourcing is buying more time in your day. And if you were to ask most people, how much would you pay to have an extra 5 hours in your week? They'd probably tell you more money than it would cost to outsource to have that time back. So it's kind of interesting, because in the end, like, time is really the only currency we have to play with. Like, money, all that and stuff is, you know, arbitrary, because there's always gonna be more of it or less of it or whatever, but time will always be constant. You always have the same amount in a week, you know, to spend doing what you want or what you don't want or whatever. So
photography is interesting because it's one of those industries where a lot of photographers feel like they have to do everything. But when I go to, I don't know, McDonald's, which I don't really eat at McDonald's because it physically hurts me. But if I were to go to McDonald's, you know, I don't expect the CEO of McDonald's to serve me the burger, right? It's so many other industries and types of businesses. It's just the norm that they have other people helping them do stuff. They're not trying to do everything themselves. But yet with photography, so many photographers, we struggle with letting go. So what's, I guess, like the top objections that you get or that you encounter from photographers who struggle to outsource? Is it the money? Is it the trust?
Yeah, it's a lot of things. Like, the money is one of them. The trust is another one. They, like, don't want to relinquish that control.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few things to say about that, and some of them are very blunt, and I will try to say them
Go for it.
In a very nice way.
No, you don't have to.
Okay. So, like, the whole idea of art, I'm an artist or whatever, like, mm-hmm. no, you're not. If you're using photography to pay your bills, mm-hmm. you are not an artist. You are a business person. You are a business person first and an artist second. Because otherwise you will not be paying your bills. If you are so focused on the art that you can't run a successful, sustainable business. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate to break it to you, you know, it, like, not you specifically, obviously, but, like, the photography industry.
I needed this advice, like, years ago. Where were you years ago? I needed to hear this.
Where were you? Right. Yeah. It's like, that's one of the hardest, like, concepts for them to understand. And that is because of the nature of the business, because it is art related and there's that whole, like, starving artist thing. And it's like, yeah, well, what do starving artists do? They starve. So, right. you know, don't become confused when you're not paying your bills but you're living with a starving artist mentality, like these yeah. two things, like they don't go.
And just to interject, we've had, and I totally respect why you're saying that, and I feel it's as much you're a business person as much as you are an artist, but at the same time, if you're running a business, then your top priority should be paying the bills. Right now I've seen plenty of photographers out there, we've talked about this on the show, where you look at other, I'm not going to pinpoint anyone, but I've seen some pretty crappy photography, and yet they're killing it in business, like bringing in six figures, right?
Yep.
Because I got the business side down. Like, the business side is easily just as important as the artistic side when you're running a photography business. I see it all the time. It drives me crazy.
Oh, I know. Me too. And then I see, like, some amazing artists who right. are, like, barely scraping by. It's like, what do you, like, how does this, how do you,
peanut
and then
butter
you.
Jelly sandwiches every night. Like, how does that happen?
Like, you're amazing. Yeah. So I see that a lot too. And that is, again, like, one of, like, the outsider views of the industry that you see happen, like, so often. But yeah, that's the one thing that I try to help people understand. It's like, you are running a business. So you need to think of it like a business. What do business people do? They hire the right person for the job. You know, they don't do all the jobs themselves, like the example you gave with McDonald's. And I always say to, like, most photographers too, like, most of them most likely do not do their own taxes. They realize that they are not qualified to do that. They don't understand it. It'll take them, which is me too. I don't do my own taxes. Forget
no
that.
Way. No way.
So I'm like, you know, and you understand that it will take you way longer to do it than if you just pay a professional to do it.
Right.
Like,
right.
the other parts of your business are no different. Whether it's someone coming in to clean your studio, mm. edit your photos, or even do your in-person sales session, or even do the shooting of the business for you. Like, there are people who just run the business, mm-hmm. and they have shooters that do all the shooting and stuff for the business for them. So, like, you can literally outsource almost every part of your business or bring on help to do it. And the more you think like that, the more you're thinking like a business person who wants to run a sustainable business. So that's, like, how I try to, like, help people understand, like, you know, to help them take it from the artist mindset to, like, the business person mindset. Like, there has to be a transition that happens there to really kind of bring people on board. And usually when that happens, like, coming back to the perfectionist thing and, like, letting go, when they see the potential and see much how much more money they could make and they start to look at it from a business perspective, relinquishing that control a little bit becomes a little bit easier. Because they realize, you know, the tiniest adjustment in exposure, white balance, or whatever is not visible to the client, may even not show up on a print, you know, depending on, like, how, you know, good the print is or where you get your stuff printed or stuff like that. Some of the most successful photographers I work with don't give a crap about the white balance or if it's perfect or the exposure if it's perfect. Not that they say that they do a crappy job. This just that as long as it is good. As long as it is, like, everything is visible, it's, you know, at least in the ballpark of well exposed, you know, and their clients love it, you know, like, mm-hmm. that's all it takes. Like, they're not worried if it's 0.01 too dark or too bright. They have bigger things to worry about, you know, than those tiny things. So those are the people that I find are also the most successful because they're not micromanaging those tiny little details that really don't matter. So that's something that I've seen help people kind of let go of that control a little bit too. And that's not to say I don't, like, with, like, nitpick over the details, because I totally do. Like, I am, like, worse than most photographers when it comes to that kind of stuff when you're editing. But, you know, it's, like, kind of, like, leave that job to somebody else, you know. You don't need to be doing that.
are you able to get close to their style then? Like each photographer has an individual style.
Okay. Yeah, well, it depends. Some photographers don't necessarily have a style. They just say, make it look good, do the best you can. I trust you. You've been doing this for a long time. You know, you're going to, you know, put something together that's going to be competent. And that's what I do. And they're happy with it. And it fits in with their style because their style isn't involved or convoluted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, like the white balance looks good. The exposure looks good. And I do have people who also, on the other side of the spectrum, that are very styled. Most of my photographers, I would say, actually do have a particular style and that I do take the time to learn that style for sure. It's just a matter of when I send it back, it's like, is it, you know, 100 degrees too warm or too cold? You know, they're going to let that go because unless the temp slider is all the way down at the left, 100 degrees, like, isn't really going to make that big of a difference. When it is, you know, like 50 degrees will make a huge difference, you know, when it's all the way down at the extreme end of the temp slider. But for the most part, you know, small details like that, they're able to let it go because they realize, one, their client won't notice. Two, they have better things to do with their time. Three, they realize that I have better things to do with my time. Not that I won't go back and make corrections to that, because I certainly will, and I have, and I do. But it's also one of those things where it's like you have to realize in the end game, does it fall into the style that they're shooting? Does it fall into the style that they want to edit? If the answer is yes, then they let it go. And, like, that's one of the easiest ways I can try to help people to, like, balance between, yes, I want to match your style, yes, I want to do everything the way you do, but also at the same time, you know, you have to relinquish some of that control and perfectionism a little bit. And I've helped a lot of photographers who have come to me, like, super, super perfectionist about stuff, and I'll send something back, and they're like, you know, it was maybe just a tiny bit too cool or too warm here, just because I'm a different person, I'm going to look at it and approach it a slightly different way. And they're like, you know, but like it still falls within my style. My client isn't going to notice and it's probably not going to show up on a print, like the difference that it would be. Mm. And I've had other people come to me and like very specific at the beginning of our working relationship, like make sure you do XYZ the photos and blah, blah, blah. And like they like kind of give me a list. I'm like, okay, it's totally cool. Like now they're like, here's some photos, do whatever the hell you want. It's going to look great. So it's just like they value what outsourcing has given them more than their ability to nitpick those tiny, tiny details.
Can you walk me through the workflow? Like when a photographer approaches you and says, hey, I'd like to try out your service. Like what's the step-by-step progression that happens?
Sure. So like usually people will say like, hey, I want to get my life back. And I'm like, that's cool. I can help you do that.
No problem.
Done. No. So usually what happens is I'll go through a test edit and we just transfer files usually in Dropbox. And so I'll have them send me like 30 raw files and their presets that they use, if they use any presets, and then give me direction on how they use them. Like, when do you apply this one? Usually most people have like one that they just apply across the board. Like that's their starting of their style. I have them give me like a brief rundown of like what their style is, where people say like neutral to neutral warm, neutral cool, warm, cool, bright, contrasty, not contrast, you know, just give me a, like a rundown of what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then I will go through a test edit giving like the instructions that they gave me, and I'll kind of like look at their website and their Facebook page and their Instagram and whatever to kind of get a feel for what I'm looking at. Do my best to kind of like replicate that. I'll send it back. And then they will either say, yes, this is awesome and perfect, exactly what I want, or they'll be like, wow, you're really close, but, you know, here are the small changes that I would make. Or they'll be say, like, no, you're kind of off base, this is how I would do it different, which can happen. Like, any of these things is a possibility and it could happen. So after that, we do a little bit of critique if needed. Usually I don't, to be honest. I would say with probably, like, 80% of my client, I'll send back the test edit, and they're like, this is perfect, and I'll be like, how?
Wow.
Like, I've never seen your look before. That's like, how do I do that? But then again, too, a lot of people are kind of, like, intermediate in their business, too. So, like, they have a set style, so the preset that they made gets them, like, super close to what they want in the end anyways. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of helpful. That it helps me get that much closer, like, right off the bat. So once that happens, then we... If it's a wedding photographer, I'll have them send me their wedding schedule, and I put all their weddings on my calendar so I know, like, when I should be expecting stuff. And so I can kind of, like, pinpoint, like, the hard times of the year, like, oh, my God, October's going to be terrible or not terrible. So I can also bug them, be like, hey, you shot this 2 weeks ago. You should really send that to me now.
I love it, because timeliness, that's another thing. I think a lot of us would be afraid. I'd be afraid of having someone, like, having you fall off the earth. Like, what if I send you photos and I never hear from you again, or in the in-between times?
I'm going to know you all the time. Like, I'm going to be up your butt. if you're not sending me stuff, and you said that like you had stuff you're gonna send me, like I'm gonna be there, like
I love
at
it.
this, like to put like super basic, like that's my money. And like that's my ability to pay my bills and eat, and I really like eating. But that's also what I'm looking for too, is people who want to establish a relationship, so they will send me all of their weddings so that I can have their schedule and I know when they should be sending me stuff. So that's what happens. And then after the test edit is ordered, they'll say, I have a wedding come up on this day, or I have portraits this week, and I will send you stuff after that. And from there, it's just a matter of, like, some people will send stuff within a few days after the wedding is done. Totally cool. Some people have to be like, hey, it's been a couple weeks, like you should send me something. And they're like, oh, you're right. And like then they'll, you know, about a week or so will go by or whatever, and they'll be like, finally called it down, like you can have it now, great. And then for portrait photographers, it can be a little bit different. Some of them I don't even talk to, really. Like I'll just check Dropbox to see if they added anything, and if there's anything new, I'll do it and put it back in there. Like we don't even like talk. We just have a setup, like this smooth workflow. Like after 2 years of working with someone, like you don't really
need
to communicate that often. And then I have a couple like high volume portrait studios where we have it set up that I will do the editing for them on a specific day of the week. So they know every week when they have to have stuff to me by. It's like one of my boudoir photographers. She knows that I will edit her stuff on Monday and Tuesday from the previous week. So she'll send me everything on Sunday, and then I'll have it back to her sometime Monday, Tuesday. And I have a senior portrait photographer, similar thing, where she will send me everything for her sessions on Tuesday, or by Tuesday, so usually like Monday night. So I'll edit them on Tuesday. So it's just a matter of like finding what works best depending on what kind of business, like wedding or portrait or high volume or, you know, not, to kind of like set up a workflow and what works best. And at that point, it's usually like sessions are in Dropbox. Okay, thanks. Sessions are done and syncing. Great, thanks. And like that's like as easy as it goes. And then sometimes there's some back and forth where it's like, hey, you know, like the lighting in this area is really difficult. You know, I liked what you did, but I would do it a little bit differently. Can you do it more like this? Cool. Totally fine. More than happy to like oblige. Because at the end of the day, you know, I am a different person. I am going to look at the image and approach it, you know, maybe slightly differently. Mm-hmm. You just have to like communicate about that kind of stuff. You know, this is a relationship like any other. Communication is key. But yeah, like once that communication is like established and set up, like it usually doesn't have to be too much of it. So it's usually pretty low volume. So I'm trying to think of like anything else in the workflow. Oh, and then usually what happens like with those high volume studios, one of the other questions I get with people is like, how do I do in-person sales? And I'm like, you just schedule the session like 2 weeks from when you shot it. You just schedule the sales session 2 weeks from when you shot it. And that's what my senior portrait photographer does, is she's just like, yeah, when I shoot it, you know, I have them schedule it out far enough in advance that I know I'll have the images back by then. Mm-hmm. So it fits in just as easily with, you know, in-person sales. I even have one of my photographers, it's actually Molly, and she teaches this. Like, she talks about it on her website and stuff. She does same-day viewing and ordering.
Wow.
I don't edit those photos before her clients see them. What she does is she does a super quick edit on her own. Like, she'll send the client off to, like, go grab a coffee or get lunch or something.
Yeah.
Do a super quick edit on her own. Add some portraiture to it, so it kind of, like, smooths out some of maybe the imperfections that are there. And then she'll do the viewing and ordering with them. And then once it's done and they have the images that they want to order, she just sends those ones to me.
Oh, that's
because,
great.
Like, the viewing and ordering is already done. So, like, they're not expecting their product for a few weeks as it is. So then she just sends me the images that they order. And I do the editing on them and send them back and, like, usually a few days, you know, maybe up to a week at most if I have to, and then done. So it's like no matter how you do your in-person sales, like there's definitely a way that you can work in outsourcing to it. So like that's kind of like a example of like, what's a workflow like? Well, here's six.
Well, I appreciate that because everybody is different, you know, and I've heard of photographers who will do the same day viewing type of thing where they show them. I've heard someone just show them the straight up raw images. I'm like, ah, okay. And then others will try to edit, you know, all of the best photos from the session before showing it to the client. You know, yeah, I really appreciate you just being so transparent about this. And this is such an interesting topic. You know, I've mentioned on the show, I learned how to use editing software, Photoshop, before I ever held a digital camera, which is kind of crazy. Right. Like, it's kind of backwards. Photographers look at me like, what? It's Yeah, I was deep in Photoshop before any type of photography. So I'm one where handing off the editing of the photos would be an especially sensitive topic, but I appreciate the way that you explain it and the way that you emphasize like the trust and the building of the relationship that happens naturally and organically between you and your clients. So
yeah, once they like come to see that like I care, yeah, like I really, really care, like it's much easier for them to relax a little bit and be like, no, these are in good hands. Like they're just going to be taken care of, like right, caringly and lovingly, you know, like.
Because I think a lot of us have been burned. I've been burned before. Yes. Just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I had super quick story, and this wasn't for photography, but this was for when I was doing graphic design at the same time as photography. And I had hired a graphic designer to outsource some of my work to. And he literally ripped off, he Googled, from what I understand, the type of brochure I needed him to make, like the, I guess, whatever topic it was. And he just ripped off a design he found in Google search. And when he gave it to me, low resolution, I was able to find that design within 10, it took me 10 seconds of Googling the type of design I was looking for. And he had ripped it off, like low resolution, like clicked and dragged. Just, it was unbelievable. And like that messed me up for like a year. I'm like, I'm not outsourcing anything. I can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I really appreciate your approach and your honesty.
There's different labs that do different things too. And like, I'll never knock another lab. It really just depends on what you need. If you are the type where you just need the photo to look as good as it can, you're not particularly concerned about a style per se, so much as just making the image look, you know, as good as it can, which you can do with just simple tonal adjustments and exposure and white balance, you know. Mm-hmm. Then like some of the other lower price labs like will probably be a fine fit for you, to be perfectly honest. And like I do know people who have a specific style that do go to some of the, you know, lower priced labs too and still have a great experience. You know, it's entirely like personality based and business based and style based and everything. You know, but if you want someone to care a little bit more generally, you know, you're also going to pay for that. It's exactly right. Like, you know, it's one of the old adage, like you get what you pay for. You know, if you want that relationship, if you want that trust and something like that, you know, it takes a certain amount of energy and time on the side of the person who's providing it. So like you do have to compensate for that. But if you do and you can establish a good relationship, it'll be totally worth it.
For sure. Wow. So I feel like we've touched on this and it's kind of been the whole topic of our podcast, but I want to make sure that we haven't left anything out. So is there anything that we haven't mentioned that is super important for photographers, I guess, to maintain a work-life balance without going crazy?
We did kind of touch on it, like you said, run your business like a business. You know, think like a business person. You know, you don't have to do everything yourself. Along the same lines, too, fit your business around your life and not your life around your business. So one thing I will have people do sometimes is run through an exercise. I'll give them a calendar. And I'll say, like, for a week, like, from, like, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. I'll be like, all right, so put on this calendar everything in a day that you want to do for you, whether it's have breakfast with your kids or, you know, like, dinner with your spouse or, you know, do yoga in the morning or whatever. Put all of those things on your calendar. Now, fill in the rest of the time on there with work. Like, make sure the work goes around, you know, the things you want to do with your life. Now, if you're looking at the business that you have now and you can't do that, then there's a few things going on here. One, you may not be priced well enough. So like you may be taking as much as you can because you're not quite paying the bills. So you have to sacrifice all the things that you want to do. So you may have to look at your pricing structure. You may have to look at your marketing. Maybe you're spending a lot of time on marketing for not much results. Maybe you need to take a hard look at what you're doing and focus more on the 80-20 rule. You know, 20% of the effort for 80% of the results. Mm-hmm. And another bit too is like maybe you're just caught up in the mindset that you have to do it all.
Yeah.
Because you don't really actually need to. So that's another one too. That's like a huge thing. It's a lot like many parts business and many parts like mindset. And that's one that I run into a lot too, is like, you think you have to take every shoot that comes along or every wedding that comes along. It's like, you don't. If you are meeting your goals for like the month or the week or whatever, you do not have to take that session. You can say, hey, I'm not available right now for when you want it, but like, can you do it in 2 weeks or a month or whatever, like schedule it in the future if you can. If they can't and you don't need it, you can say no. You can say, I have some other photographers I can recommend for you. You know, think about your business being something that contributes to your lifestyle. You know, it should contribute to it, not take away from it. And another thing I suggest to people too is track your hours. Write down what you're doing and how long it's taking you. You're going to find out real quick where your time's going from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed. Do it for like a month or two. And if you wanted to take it a step further, also track how much time you spend on one session, like including the editing time, the album time, or whatever, and take how much you made on that session, divide it up on the hours. And if you're making like a minimum wage or less, or basically not enough per hour that you need to either cut out some things from your workflow, you know, like maybe you're doing too much, you know, like simplify it, or charge more. Like, try and visualize your time a little bit differently. But yeah, that's been one of the things that, even for me too, like I started tracking my hours back in like April or whatever. Like, it was like an epiphany, like, oh, and I realized like all the things that I was doing that wasn't making as much money. So I started to get rid of them. Like, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's not worth it. And so like slowly over time, my average hourly rate of time spent working went up by like almost $20 an hour.
Wow.
Pretty significant, because I started to realize like, nope, this stuff isn't cutting it. It's not paying the bills as good as it could. You know, it's ruining my lifestyle here. Like, and so like what I've been able to do is like, I only really work on paid jobs like Monday through Thursday. Everything else, like unless it's something that needs a quick turnaround, which like happens once in a while, like I don't really edit on Fridays. You know, most, it says on my website that most of my turnaround stuff can be up to a week. Gives me a chance to have a little bit of leeway when I tell people, you know, it's going to be a few extra days or whatever. So I've set that expectation from the start that allowed me to do that. I just kind of had to take advantage of it. So that's another thing too. I would definitely tell people to help like get back controls, like figure out where your time is going, is another big part of the puzzle. So
you'd make an excellent business coach, like photography business coach. Just saying, just you, your understanding of the ins and outs of a photography business, I think is more thorough than a lot of photographers themselves.
I have the advantage too of like I said, like not even just because I have worked for Molly for a lot of years, like a lot of years. First was just in like 7 years. That's quite a while. And we're best friends. She's like one of my best friends in the world. She's given me my entire life. Like, as is obvious, like I wouldn't have anything that I have now without her. But even just like watching her, not even working for her, like watching her and listening to her and what she's doing and everything like that, like you learn so much. Like, I didn't have to come into the photography industry like as a newbie. Like, I came in from people who were already doing it successfully, and like I get to like learn from them and everything like that. So like I got to cheat, like so like I cheated to learn about the industry. Like, I got paid to learn about it. Like, hey, I need you to help me upload content for this course. Well, I'm gonna read it if I'm uploading it, you know, because it's there in front of my face. So, like, I get paid to learn it. Like, what?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So, yeah, like, it gives me an option to see and learn things, like, a lot faster than a lot of photographers would. Like, so if I wanted to have a photography business, which I don't really, I kind
of,
like,
knock it out of the park.
If I wanted to, but yeah. I really like being lazy and sitting in my room cave, right, and, like, not leaving the house. Like, I'm a total hermit, so.
Do what suits you.
Oh, exactly. It comes back to like the lifestyle thing. Like, Find what you can be passionate about, because it gives you the lifestyle you want. And mine is, I am a hermit. Unapologetically.
Nothing wrong with that. Ain't no shame.
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. I will wear the same clothes for 4 days. Like, I don't even care. Like, I. Yep.
Oh, so is
hashtag
there,
keeping it real.
Right. Totally. You know, that's a theme that comes up time and time again on this podcast, that you have to be true to yourself. That's the thing. We're not trying to impress people, because everybody's going to have something to say about what they think you should be doing with your life, mm-hmm, or how you live or your business, or even down mm-hmm to how you dress, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and it's just mm-hmm at the end of the day, that's, you got to be true to yourself. Right.
Yeah. My mom is like this. She's like, you should get out more and see people. Like, there's me like sitting at home in the dark at night, like drinking a beer, like nobody's around. Like, mm-mm.
like, as long as you're happy with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, for me, I found too, like, I'm very much an introvert. So, like, if I can spend all that time alone when I'm ready to see people, I am ready to see people and, like, invest in those, that time I'm spending with them and that, and, like, their, and being with them. And, but whereas otherwise, like, my old job, like, I would see my friends and, like, I was in an office all day. So I'd be kind of like, like, just, like, not thrilled. Like, I love seeing them and hanging out with them and everything. But, like, I definitely noticed a difference when I was allowed to work in an atmosphere that allowed me to do what I needed best. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, wow, I love seeing my friends that much more. I already loved them, but now I love them even more. This is great.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you. Wow. So is there a particular photography resource or tool, book, or anything online that you would recommend to our photography business listeners today?
The Modiboto keyboard.
Oh, okay. That's a first. Do tell.
I'm not paid to say this. Like, this has, like, nothing to do. They don't even know I'm talking about it. So I know I'm actually, like, really well connected to the photography community in Canada. It's, like, long story there, but I am. And one of them makes this editing keyboard that allows you to push buttons on the keyboard, and it changes the sliders. And Lightroom kind of already has a built-in feature for this, but it's crap. This streamlines it. So I can type on my keyboard and look at the image. I don't have to move my mouse back and forth or look back and forth between the panel and the image or whatever. I can just, like, type and edit. So I usually edit on average in Lightroom about 100 images in half an hour.
What?
And I went from about 100 and 150 per hour to 100 in a half an hour just after starting to use, like, this keyboard. It's awesome. It's so much easier to use. And again, that's primarily for Lightroom, which, like, if you're a photographer and you do a lot of editing, you really need to be using it because it is streamlined for editing. So that is one thing I can recommend. So, like, you can shoot, like, a wedding and edit, you know, 600 images in 3 hours.
Like, that's nuts.
Yep. I mean, again, like, you have to, like we talked about before, like, don't nitpick over the tiny, tiny details, you know, like 100 degrees or whatever, like plus one or two on tint or, you know, tiny, tiny things that aren't going to matter. But, like, you can really, especially if you have an established style and you know what you're looking for, you know what the end game should be when the image is done, like, you can fly through images. And that's what I use for all my clients to edit. And yeah, like, all of them, different styles, stuff like that. I can usually average about 100 images per half hour.
Boom. That is in the show notes. Okay. I'm totally linking to that. And they actually, I'm on their site. They, and again, I've never heard of them. They're not paying us to endorse them or whatever, but
yeah, no, not whatsoever.
Right. They just, it says introducing Modiboto for Photo Mechanic.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah. That's what they made. Yeah. I know the creators, there's some Canadian photographers who are super awesome and hilarious, but yeah, they made that keyboard and I found out about it some years ago and I was like, why didn't I have this for that's the last 8 years of my life? Like, so yeah, like, one thing, if you do want to do the editing yourself and keep that job, like, which is totally fine. There are a lot of people who do that and do it successfully. Like, definitely get the Modiboto keyboard. It's going to save you some time.
That's sweet. That's awesome. Thank you. That's an excellent recommendation. And my last question for you, but definitely the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
Starboardediting.com. That is my website. I think right now the main cover image is me prancing in a unicorn onesie. Yes, it is.
You're right.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
With a pink umbrella. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was taken in Vancouver. I was actually speaking at a conference there and I was like, I'm going to wear my unicorn onesie because photographers are insane and I love them. And that's why I get along with them really well, because I'm also crazy. Of course, in a good, amazing, creative way. So I'm like, I'm going to wear this up there. So I said to one of my photographer's friends that I knew, I said, hey, Tim, he's also, like, does some of the goofiest crap. It's just amazing. He's like, I have a unicorn onesie that I brought with me. What are you going to do about it? He's like, tomorrow morning, we're going out in Vancouver and we're shooting.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what happened, and, like, that's what transpired. So, and he was actually standing in the middle of, like, a road in Vancouver, like, in downtown Vancouver, and, like, while he took that particular shot, too, and I was like, you're going to die. Like, you're going to get over.
He's risking his life to get this photo of you in a unicorn onesie.
I did another one at another conference, and I stood on top of, like, well, we trespassed first because it's so common in photography. So we went to this building that we probably shouldn't have been at. We climbed on top of this rickety, like, staircase next to the building or whatever, and we came back from doing the shoot, and I talked to the one photographer's wife who did the shoot with me, and, like, yeah, I thought I was going to die. She's like, that's how you know you did it right. Obviously, like, that's not entirely true. Like, we don't endorse that in any way of being unsafe, but it's just, like, so many times to get the shot.
Right. Well, your whole site is just fun.
Yep, that's the story of that photo.
That's awesome. I encourage everybody to check out her website. It's starboardediting.com. Please check out her About Me page, because I'm seeing the photo of you giving your presentation in the unicorn outfit. There's another one with you holding slices of pizza. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was Molly. She just bought some new lighting stuff for her first studio, and she's like, I need to test this. And, like, I was hanging out in my bathrobe, because that's what I do. And she's like, here, stand here. I'm like, what do you want me to do? When we had ordered pizza. So she just hands me the pizza box. She's like, I don't know, go crazy. So, like, that's what happened. It was a light test. Like, there was never supposed to be anything from that we liked. Ever. But she edited a few of them, and she's like, here, you can have them. And, like, to this day, it gets some of the most comments and, like, one of the most commented pictures I have, or people bring it up the most. I'm like, man, that's so funny, because it was just supposed to be this crap photo. She's testing her new, like, alien bee, whatever, you know?
You look like a ninja. Seriously, yep. In that photo.
Yeah, I'm the pizza ninja.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been awesome. Just thank you so much, Beth, for just being brutally honest with us and sharing with us. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a blast and awesome to connect with other amazing people in the industry. So it's been total blast.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.